Thank you for joining us for another episode of True Wisdom, where we're digging deeper into Bible stories and uncovering some unhidden truths, but they're important truths that God has in store for us. And I am once again, and as always, joined with my co-host, Andrew.
Greetings.
And we are going to go ahead and start with prayer and then break down the importance of seeking true wisdom. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity once again to study your word, to draw us closer to you, and to provide information that will help us in our daily lives. We pray that as we do this study today, that it will enlighten us, and the readers and the listeners will also get something from our discussion. We love you and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So before we get into our study, we want to know and we want to share with our listeners, new and old, why we seek out true wisdom.
True wisdom. So Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 17. Here's what it says. The words of wise men are heard in quiet, more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Okay? So wisdom, there, the Bible tells us a lot about wisdom. And it also tells us where we get wisdom from and what its benefit to us is. And that's we find in Proverbs 9, 9, and 10, which is our theme passage. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9, 9, and 10.
Amen, amen. All right, so what have you picked for our study today?
Oh, well, you know, we spoke a few episodes ago about forgiveness. And this isn't the full study on forgiveness, but I thought it was a good one to leap into as we go along the way. So in my Bible, it's titled The Parable of the Unforgiving Servant. And then it's found in Matthew 18, 21. Matthew 18, 21.
Matthew 18?
Yeah, it starts at 21 and goes through 35, yeah.
You said to 35. All right.
Yep. End of the chapter.
Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus answered unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven.
Okay, let's start with a little premise here. So Christ has been teaching some parables, lots of parables. The folks were asking who would be the greatest in the kingdom. Christ is talking about temptations to sin and, you know, woe, if your eye offend you, pluck it out, like, get rid of everything that will hinder you. Parable of the lost sheep. And then Christ goes on to say, if your brother trespasses, speak to him and recover him. If he won't hear you alone, bring two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything may be established. And then if he fails to hear them, bring it before the church. And if he doesn't hear the church, then, you know, then let him be as a heathen and a publican. Now, a lot of times we mean kick him to the curb when we say that, but a heathen and a publican is somebody who just has a different relationship to you, but is still in need of God's salvation, right? Okay, so all of that is what Christ was talking about. And so Peter now comes and says, well, how oft shall he sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? Because he's thinking, seven's a good number in the Bible. Kind of a big number. Mm-hmm. Seven times, right? Christ is like, no. Seven times 70. And that number's special, by the way. That number's special. Because if you remember in the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, God gives Israel a probationary period of 70 weeks, which is 70 times 7. Right. So God doesn't give us instructions that he doesn't follow, especially when they're based on principles. He does not give us principles to follow, which he does not follow. At the end of the day, he wants us to be like him. Okay.
Now, I just want to pull out an interesting... I shouldn't make it a point. It came from a sermon I once heard that someone had started counting down how many times their spouse had offended them so they can get to the 490. But what the pastor was pointing out is, no, that's per one type of offense. So if they offend you in a different way, you have to start the count all over. Now, that is not gospel, but it's the... Once again, it's the spirit of the law rather than looking for the exact number after which you can mistreat someone.
Yeah, and that's an interesting... Now, you brought that up, but it actually ties into our parable, right? It actually has emphasis in the parable. The idea, you know, God gave a number, 490, that's not likely to be counted. If you're really keeping track of that, you need to. Then I hope that you're keeping track in both directions.
Right, of your own sins.
Yeah. Okay. Ooh, I've done 18 of those. You know, like you really. I mean, if you're going to keep record, as the Bible says, just weight and an even balance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So continuing on. Verse 23 of Matthew 18, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt.
That's a very important point. First off, this guy ran up a debt with his Lord of 10,000 talents.
Not a small amount.
No, that's not a small amount, especially since in the Hebrew culture, the word 10,000, if you look carefully, they don't often have larger numbers than that. Whenever they want to show something really, really large, they say 10,000, like we would say a gazillion. And then they'll say 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, right? So the phrase 10,000 there is larger than you might otherwise realize because it's like saying he owed him a gazillion talents.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. So the Lord was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Didn't just say, okay, you could play it back to me later. Just forgave him the debt. But the same...
Correct.
Yeah. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Quick aside here, let me see. I've seen that somewhere before. Verse 26. The servant fell down before his Lord, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I'll pay thee all. Okay. So, same phrasing. Verse 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he could pay the debt.
By the way, I've always wondered about that. Okay. If the guy is in jail, how is he paying the debt again?
His family.
Well, yeah. And the likelihood, especially in this culture, that his family is more capable at wage earning than he is?
Less and less, which is why they end up into slavery.
Right.
Now... Because of the times, it should be pointed out that slavery in that era was different.
Well, I'll say it this way. slavery is almost never good.
Never.
But the slavery that was done in this country was on a whole other scale.
Yes.
A whole other scale, right? It's not so much that we should look to downplay slavery in every other era, but to recognize that the slavery that transpired in this country was vile beyond vile. It wasn't indentured servitude.
Right.
It was some ridiculously vile activity that was perpetrated for several hundred years.
And the reason I bring that up is so that people don't look at the justification of the Lord saying, oh, slavery was okay.
Correct.
This, and we will see that this servant wasn't even right. So using him as a role model, as a role to for your own actions is not right.
Correct.
So, verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Well, there's a lesesson in that too.
Mm-hmm.
Then
let's pause mm-hmm. and deal with that lesson. We spoke about dealing with injustice, right? When you see injustice, you deal with it. Now, in this particular case, the injustice is being done at a low level in the organization, and so they're able to appeal to a higher level in the organization mm-hmm. to have it addressed, okay? There are always complications when the injustice is being done at a high level in the organization because your options for redress are not as straightforward.
Right. Right. So, I think the fact that they were sorry, they weren't angry, they weren't wroth, they were sorry. It shows mm-hmm. empathy. It shows that, wait a second, didn't you benefit and now you're going to mm-hmm. mistreat this person?
Mm-hmm. And it, you know, you're about to do it, but the way that the Lord operates in this, the Lord of this kingdom, this certain king, the way that the king operates is, again, people are not operating out of rage. Mm-hmm. Now we're gonna read that people do get angry, but they're still operating from principle,
mm-hmm.
right? Because nobody accosted the other guy and beat him down,
right?
Right? They didn't do that, right? And the king is going to behave in a way that is again appropriate after he's heard what he's heard.
Mm. So, verse 32, then his mm-hmm. lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? So his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Oh, have mercy. So mm-hmm. likewise...
Now, look at 35, because mm-hmm. Christ has said, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, right? So we always have to be careful when Christ does these likened unto, there are parallels, but it's not identical. It's simply heavenly things are not identical to earthly things. But then he ends this in a very interesting way.
So likewise, likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. And
okay. What is it that the heavenly Father will do unto you?
Well, let's go back. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine, but mm-hmm. let's go to 32.
Mm-hmm. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. No.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And in 34, he unforgives him
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. of his unforgiveness.
he reinstated the debt.
Yes.
And so, and I hope I'm not jumping ahead.
And Jesus says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses.
Well, and this is before Jesus even died. See,
what do you mean by that? Well, I mean, I know what you mean, but
the sacrifice he made can never be repaid. And I don't mean to rhyme.
Okay, yeah.
The sacrifice he made, that's the debt we owe, and he covered it for us. So
Correct. We
have been so evil that the Lord, an innocent God of heaven, had to die to wipe away our sins, that we sinned against him, against God. So now we're going to turn around and someone does something mean to us, and we're going to hold a grudge and not forgive him. And then we think we'll get into heaven that way. It's the exact same thing. We owe 10 times 10 times 10 more than what somebody did to us. We owe that to someone who forgave us with great pain on him and much less pain on us. And if we turn around and say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to forgive you. Oof. It shows we do not value what we've been forgiven of. That's a very bitter pill to swallow. And this is why it's repeatedly said, forgiveness is not for the other person, it's really for you.
Yep. Yes, it is.
And it's not as if... It's the exact same words he heard that he spoke, and it never clicked. I know it's a parable, but it never clicked to him. Oh, wait a second, I've heard this before, and I was able to benefit from it. 100 pence.
Now, here's the thing. I did a lookup, and somebody is suggesting that that 10,000 talents, right? They said that the rough value of a talent in today's currency is approximately $457,600, right? Which means that the servant had to pay the king 10,000 talents. That's about $4.5
billion. Billion?
Billion.
Sounds
about okay, that's how much he owed. That's how much he owed. The other guy owed him 100 pence, and I don't know. I mean, if we look at British money,
that's $1,
right?
That's 100 pounds.
Right, 100 pence. Yeah, that's £1.
I don't think there's a good enough fraction to describe the discrepancy between one and the other.
Exactly. You know, it's those. There's no conceivable way to draw that. I saw something the other day where people were showing the wealth of different people using grains of rice, and you know, assuming that each rice grain was some ridiculous number, $100,000 or whatever. He had all these ridiculous rice grains to represent some of the richest people on the planet. But if on the one side, have you ever seen those star chart comparisons? They never show you one to the last. I mean, not till the very end, but they essentially show you one, and they show you the scale of the next one next to it, and then they shrink that because the next one is bigger than it, and it keeps just going exponentially. There's no easy way to get from £1 to $4.5 billion. Right? It isn't. And think, here's what you need to add to that. Imagine a time and a place where someone who owes you a pound is going to take a little bit of time to pay it back to you. Right?
Yeah.
Because what that means is that although it's a small number, it represents a certain level of work that needs to occur, right? It's the difference between a dollar in 2020 money and a dollar in 1820 money.
Yeah.
Right? So first do that. A dollar would buy you so much more 200 years ago. And then take that same time period and translate to $4.5 billion. Okay. Now, the reason, some of the things to look at in this, and it's a short one, we won't belabor it too much, but some of the things to look at in this parable. Christ ends this parable. This is one of the few parables he gives where at the end, he gives a punchline that's pretty solid, right? Because he kind of explains who all the people, all the participants are. He's basically saying, you are that servant upon whom the Lord had compassion. The king is my father. Okay? And the servant that didn't get compassion is everybody that you interact with. And if you behave like that guy to them, this is what will end up for you. You will end up in a place where you'll be given over to the tormentors until you can pay all. And you made a very important point earlier, which is the debts we owe cannot be repaid.
Can't be repaid.
Frankly, someone paying back, listen, if someone said to me, hey, because of XYZ, you owe $4.5 billion, I'm done. I'm just done.
You can go down a few notches for me, millions or thousands.
Right? I'm done. So that's one aspect of what we have to look at. Forgiveness, our forgiveness is based on our willingness to forgive, right? Now, the importance of this story, this parable, is that it is by grace that the guy got forgiven, right? So the king didn't forgive him only after seeing how he would deal. He was forgiven by grace. But he didn't take that grace and exercise it for him. Remember when we did the study on grace?
Mm-hmm.
When you receive grace, you become a channel of grace to others.
Right, right.
Okay? He exercised neither grace nor mercy. Because the king had mercy on him and then exercised grace.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the key is how many times in life have we been so stubborn to be angry and hold on? I could speak from experience. You want to hold on to anger. And I don't even hold on to anger well. I don't hold grudges long, but I have in the past. And then you're not realizing what someone else has done for you, where you can just be thankful. Oh, my goodness. He went from negative, how much did you say, $4 billion?
Yeah, $4.5 billion.
He went $4.5 billion in the negative to being zero.
Zero.
And mm-hmm. he's worried about 100 pence? He mm-hmm. still has his job. He still has his livelihood. None of his family's in prison. He could make that money back easily. So mm-hmm. in the same way, what the Lord is saying is there's nothing anyone can do to you that you can't forgive them because you've been forgiven of so much more.
Yes, ouch. Absolutely. No one has done so much to you that you can't forgive them.
Ouch.
Right? And if you can't, then neither can I.
Ouch. And that goes back to the conversation we were having before about the evil mm-hmm. of the slavery that was perpetrated in this country.
Yes.
Basically, you've got to learn to forgive even with the evilness of the someone else's actions
you
against you.
Listen to me. It's hard, right? These situations, I see people talking about reparations and all these other kinds of things. I understand why those things are being sought for, but I have two points on them. One, we can't get caught up in longing for that because someone is either going to lie about it or they're just going to be unable. There won't be sufficient political will to do it across the country. Okay, that's one. Two, we are aiming for a better country. an heavenly country. There's nothing in prophecy that leads us to believe that that issue is going to be resolved. That doesn't absolve us of endeavoring to reduce human suffering within the scope of our influence. Mm-hmm. But it means that we should not expect these massive ticket items to be addressed. Because, lo and behold, that's not the, there's nothing in prophecy that suggests to us that these class of things will be addressed. Hmm. Okay? But if we want to be, oh, it's raining here. If we want to be forgiven of God, we have to be willing to forgive others.
Yeah.
That's all there is to that.
Well, thanks again for this lesson. Thanks again for, well, thank the Lord for the illustration in the parable, but thanks for bringing it out. So that's something that we could talk about and something we definitely have to apply. It is something we have to apply because verse 35 is pretty direct. So likewise,
it is absolutely direct.
Yeah. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother, their trespasses. Have mercy.
And it's only this, you know, I think the thing we need to emphasize here is that power of forgiveness comes from God, right? Don't look at, man, I can't be like that, and leave it at that. Sure, we can, but our natural inclination is not there. But this is by the power of God. So if we understand that this is what God desires of us, and we understand that that by his power we can do that, then let's seek that power to do that so that we're on the right side of this equation.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and close with prayer. Okay. If you can, sir.
Will do. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for your watch care and your protection. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness and teaching us that forgiveness is vital. You forgave us before we even knew that we had wronged you. Help us to be grateful for that forgiveness and to extend it to those we come in contact with, and not to hold grudges against them such that you have to rescind your forgiveness to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks again. We encourage you. It has been pointed out to me that oftentimes I talk about where this podcast is available at truewisdom.com.
Buzzsprout.
Thank you.
True Wisdom. Or truewisdom.buzzsprout.com.
It has been pointed out to me that I often talk about where you can get this podcast at truewisdom.buzzsprout.com. But I also should mention that we are on all platforms right now. So you can get us on Spotify, Apple Play, Apple Music, Google Play, all of these platforms. You can pick up True Wisdom. And don't forget to share it with your friends. If you have any questions, you can email us at truewisdom@spaceage-llc.com, as well as reach out to us on Twitter at truewisdom_pod. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope and pray that you've learned something and you will continue to learn when you join us for our next episode.